Always follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in here on a Monday. Coming up in this hour, we'll get to some of the most creative props that we've seen so far for the Super Bowl. Max Hoffmeyer is going to join the program. Fun night tonight in hoops. We'll get his best bets on the card, including a look at Texas Tech and Kansas. In pocket plays from us as well. And right now, we begin the hour by going out to the Progressive guest line. Dr. David Chow joins us. You can follow him on X at Pro Football Doc, and he's been joining us every Sunday on the Tailgate Show throughout the entire football season. Good to talk to you again, Doc. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Perfect timing. I just made it into San Francisco.
Oh,
just
very nice.
Just checked into the hotel room.
Okay. Going to be hanging out at Radio Row the entire time?
Yeah. A bunch of media hits, Radio Row things, et cetera. You know, you guys are lucky. You guys get to stay home.
That's a great city. There's a lot of great places to eat, too. It's a lot of fun there. How's it been going back and forth with Patriot fans the last week?
You know, look, what Patriots fans don't understand is I don't hate on the Patriots. I actually like the Patriots. I put up video where their former head coach, who didn't get in the Hall of Fame, obviously he should have, you know, came on my podcast. I've been a Patriots fan back junior Seau days and beyond. I was just telling it like it was. There was no doubt in my mind there was a right shoulder injury. And I wasn't saying he wasn't going to play, but I did say I was more worried about Drake May being that it was a new right shoulder injury, especially the day after the game, than I was about Sam Darnold with an old oblique injury where he's already played two games. So, you know, nowadays people don't listen to everything. It's all good. It's all good.
So he got tackled on that run, and then after that, he had a horrible throw on third down. You had a good job showing the video there. And then you could also make the case, well, the stiff arm on the run showed he was okay, or maybe it hurt him with the stiff arm. What direction do you see?
On the Hufanga tackle, he clearly landed his elbow and shoulder. I think he, quote, hurts his shoulder on that play. He hands the ball off. He gets up a little slow. Yes, he adjusts his shoulder pads. And then on the next play is a handoff. And after the next play, you can see him chicken winging his right shoulder there. And then admittedly, the next play is the flea flicker, which he completes for 30 yards. Wasn't a bullet pass, didn't need to be a bullet pass, but he completed for 30 yards. And you're right, later on, there was an out pattern that was thrown into the dirt. Was it wind? Was it poor grip because of the weather? Was it pressure because he couldn't step into the throw? Was it his shoulder? Was it part of all four? Who knows? And then one more pass only, which was a throwaway, one more drop back that was a sack. Mm-hmm. And you could see him favoring his shoulder after the game and in the press conference a little bit. And I just simply acknowledge that there was a shoulder injury. Now, coach speak. I love Coach Vrabel. I think he's awesome. I've met him. Just he's great for New England and that team. A lot of respect for him. But he's doing his job with his coach speak a little bit. And then finally come the injury report on Wednesday, he admitted it was a new injury from Sunday, which is kind of matching what we said all along.
Okay. And then obviously you labeled questionable last week. He missed practice. There was an illness in there as well. Mm-hmm. It is Monday now of the actual big game week. If you had to put a percentage on his health, like what would you speculate it to be at?
Well, they did have a practice today. They aren't allowing reporters in at all. Mm-hmm. There won't be an injury report till Wednesday. You'll get the usual Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And Friday, who knows? He may be listed as questionable for the game or listed without an injury designation. Right now at Sports Injury Central, you know, we do six scores. We have a six score of 87-88 on Drake May. We are confident that he will play in the game. We are confident that he will be able to do a lot. The question mark, because we haven't seen it yet, is how is his downfield accuracy on the long ball? And as you all know, he has been among the best in the league at the deep ball. Mm-hmm. The question is, where will he be at for this coming Sunday? We really strongly believe he's going to play.
Okay, so then, like on game day itself, let's say the shoulder, it's a lingering problem. You go back to the Niners when they played the Seahawks and Darnold had the oblique, and Shanahan after the game is like, we knew he was going to be fine. They're just going to give him Toradol. Is the throwing shoulder for a quarterback something as simple as saying, let's jam some Toradol in him and he's going to be okay?
Well, some Toradol potentially, the adrenaline of the game, of course, and potentially if it really is a mild AC joint / posterior capsule, as you said, you could put in a little bit of numbing medication. Look, we don't know exactly what the injury is. We don't think it's surgical. We don't think it's severe. We think he's going to play through. How it will affect him is anyone's guess. I think the worry is to look at the deep ball here. The good news is there shouldn't be the same weather that he experienced in Denver, especially in that second half of the game. It's beautiful right now out here in San Francisco in the Bay Area.
But how easily re-injurable, I guess, it's not probably not a word, but we'll go with it here, is the shoulder if he takes a spill similar to the one that he had in the AFC title game?
Well, it certainly can be aggravated, just like, you know, Sam Darnold's shoulder can be injured if he takes a certain hit on it. It is the collision sport of football. But, you know, people, you guys mentioned earlier, well, he stiff-armed the guy on that key first down run. Well, that's called adrenaline. And let me tell you something. When you have a throwing shoulder injury, stiff-arming someone is easier than overhead, right? People made a lot out of Drake May's video. He's carrying his suitcase off the plane in his right hand, which means he's fine. Well, if I see him put that suitcase in the overhead luggage compartment with his right shoulder, I'd feel better than him just carrying it at his side. Uh-huh. His arm isn't useless. It's just the demands of throwing are a little bit different. And it remains to be seen. It's something to watch. Would I be overly concerned about it? No, but it is something that's a concern. Why? Because it's the Super Bowl. Everything's overblown in the Super Bowl, especially a new throwing shoulder injury on a quarterback. Look, Sam Darnold is still listed on the injury report with his oblique injury. And, you know, any injury gets magnified now with the Super Bowl in terms of scrutiny.
Yeah. Hey, Doc, how about Josh Allen playing 6 weeks with a broken foot?
You know, we all knew Josh Allen has that Superman cape, that big S on his chest. But let me tell you, that foot fracture, yes, it was a fracture. Yes, he needed surgery. But it is a fifth metatarsal avulsion fracture. It's not a Jones fracture like you see. And the fracture likely wasn't even fixed per se. It's a small avulsion piece that's chronic that started to flare up. You excise it, reattach the tendon. The good news is recovery is very reliable. I'll give it to him. Josh Allen has proven his toughness. It is an injury that you can play through, even though you see your fracture and you think superhuman. Okay. He is Superman, but he still is human. And good on Josh that he was able to play through. He'll be fine well ahead of next season.
All right, fair enough. So you're more concerned with Spillane's injury, and you saw him hobbling around and getting on the plane. What do you think of that?
I am more concerned with Spillane's injury because, A, he did not return to the game, and some of that may have been the slippery surface, right? When you have an injured left ankle and you can't cut and you can't get good footing, that's not a good surface to return. But we all saw him on the sideline, and it was possible that he could. Yes, getting off the plane, you could see a hitch in his gait on the left ankle as he descended the stairs. But to be fair, it's coming off a long flight. It's not with warm-up. It's not with Toradol. It's not with other things. But also, guess what? He really is a sideline-to-sideline linebacker. So that is something to watch in terms of his ankle going forward for the injury reports this week and for Super Bowl Sunday.
Any other
player? Harold Landry, too. He didn't play last week.
Right. Yeah. So who else are you going to be monitoring this week when the injury report's going to come out on Wednesday?
Well, you know, obviously Drake May, you know, Spillane, Harold Landry, and of course on the Seahawks, Ernest Jones and one or two other Seahawks. Charles Cross is in theory going to be fine, the left tackle for the Seahawks. Sam Darnold is likely to still be on the injury report with the oblique. But, you know, by the time Super Bowl Sunday comes around, it will be 4+ weeks from the injury. So I think given his last game, the NFC Championship game, I don't think people are too worried about his oblique right now.
A lot of people like the Seahawks. Are you in the same camp?
Well, you know, when you get down to this side, our success at Sports Injury Central and Sick Picks is when there is a bad line. The line should be different based on cluster injuries. And guess what? Seahawks have been basically the healthiest team this entire season, according to Sports Injury Central. The Patriots are in the top five, not far behind. These are two healthy teams here. This is not Seattle hosting the San Francisco 49ers when we said the line can't be big enough where they're going to cover that. This is probably where the line is. But yes, I do lean personally towards Seattle, but that's more from the football side than the injury side.
Fair enough. You can follow Dr. Chow on X at Pro Football Doc. Thanks so much for your perspective. We'll catch up again on Super Bowl Sunday.
Thank you.
Thanks, he was on the Progressive guest line. Okay, so Paul Bovey was on last week, professional sports bettor. He was making the case that Milton Williams is not the guy that is ultra important to stopping the opposing team's running game. It's actually Robert Spillane.
I think the Ice Cube's got a lot to do with it, though, too. That guy's been a hell of a player.
I totally agree. Yep. But he thinks that Spillane missing could actually create a huge game for Kenneth Walker, or, you know, for him to, because Kenneth Walker's rushing yards prop keeps coming down. And he said he wants it. Yeah. He's just going to wait as long as possible. And then if the number is right, he's going to bet the over on it. So, because the Spillane thing would be big. I mean, when he was missing time at the end of the year, like that completely flipped where you could suddenly run on that team. We will get into the creativity with a lot of these props coming up next. And we have an update on LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh boy. It's next on Follow the Money. It's Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
You can bet on LeBron James' next team. And we have an update from Jake Fisher, covers the NBA, does a lot of live streaming for Bleacher Report. He said on a video not that long ago, definitively the Lakers are ready to move on from LeBron James. And I think LeBron James is ready to move on from the Lakers as well. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the foregone sentiment in Los Angeles right now about what's to come this summer. So right now on Kelce, you can bet the no on LeBron coming back. It's not great odds at this point because stuff is moving, I think, as this continues to be a fluid situation. But if you can find something, maybe a rogue number out there on a no on him to be with the Lakers next year, if you want to tie up your money for a little while, might be worth it. Seems like all signs are pointing to him being gone, at least in the summertime.
Oh, boy. That's an unfortunate ending. And certainly that Baxter Holmes article got things going with what Jeannie said or thought of him. But he brought you a championship. I know that just you just go to him, it's not going to go well probably when you ask him to take a pay cut, but you got to keep Reeves. So this would be a tough way to end it.
It's about plus 107 right now for him to go to the Cavaliers.
I thought he was going to retire a Laker.
Rizzo said with us on Friday that count the Cavaliers out.
Yeah.
Golden State's 10%. So what would be the move for LeBron to make if he doesn't go back home and play for Cleveland? Does he want to win a title or does he want to play for like Steph, play with Steph? Because I don't think the Warriors are going to be able to pull this off for Giannis. I think their package stinks out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And Milwaukee will have a lot of other stuff to maybe consider rather than that. But he's 10% to go to Golden State. Maybe he just wants to finish his career where he can go and play with some of his best friends and just have a great time out there on the court like Steph at the same time. Pure speculation right now. Okay, creative props for the Super Bowl, Paulie. More stuff is dropping over the weekend.
Good stuff, yes. I'll start with what they have at Circa and what they've added. Any player fumbles into the opponent's end zone that results in a touchback, 18-1. the John Casey kickoff out of bounds, plus 675. Offensive lineman to have a catch, 40-1. Any player that weighs 300-plus pounds scores a touchdown, 30-1. That's they've had that before, but that's good. Kicker or punter to make a tackle, solo tackle, plus 825.
I like that one.
That is unique. Either team converts a third or fourth down of 25-plus yards. Penalty does not count, 12-1.
They should post that with a different number with the penalty counting.
Okay.
Because, I mean, 12-1 would be an automatic bet if penalties counted.
Yeah.
For me, anyway, multiple things could take place there.
Okay. Quarterback to finish the game with negative rushing yards, plus 850.
Hold on. I'm going to pull up Sam Darnold's game.
That's
got to
be, yeah, because that's just got to be Sam Darnold. Because May's not going to have negative rushing yards.
I wonder if he finished with negative rushing yards at all this year.
And I was watching the good point. I was watching the Guru last week. They had a good breakdown on jersey number of the first touchdown score under 10.5.
Well, there you go. Two games this year, Sam Darnold had negative yards rushing.
Yeah, that's got to be higher because May takes off so much.
I want to keep going back now to see if it happened anymore like in previous. Yeah. Two games again last year. Negative yards rushing.
Yeah.
It's what's the number on that? 9-1?
Plus 850.
Plus 850?
Yeah. I think it happened last year or 2 years ago. But
you're only
talking about one of the quarterbacks, though.
So can we just have the game where Darnold doesn't take off a single time? They're winning by 10. We don't want a blowout, so he comes out of the game. They're winning by 10. They have the ball late. Kneel downs, boom, there you go. That's what has to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. In 2023, he had 8 games with negative yards rushing. 8!
Wow.
He only played in 11 games.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Never mind. He was not a starter that year.
On a flip side.
So he would come into the game when the games were decided then. And all right.
Yeah. Drew Lock to get in and take a snap, plus 775. Dobbs is plus 725. Well, maybe like you said, the doctor. Maybe takes a hard hit, comes out. Who knows? You got blowout, injury. A lot of scenarios there. Punt downed at or inside opponent's 5-yard line, plus 230. Other one is drive to start inside the 5-yard line. Both teams have a 1-yard touchdown, plus 450.
Both teams, huh?
Yeah. Shortest scoring drive, 59.5 seconds, over minus 130. Longest touchdown drive, there's an 81.5 and a 70. I think it opened 81.5, got down to 79, but I saw an 81.5 and a 79.5.
Oh, so you're telling me a lot of books, they are offering that prop?
Yeah. That's a big ass, don't you think?
Well, so you basically...
An 82-yard touchdown drive?
With these two special team returners that we have, you're going to have a punt probably downed inside the... Well, obviously inside the 20. Or like a turnover inside the 20-yard line and the team takes over, right?
Yeah.
They go the distance then? Mm-hmm. You're talking about... Are we going to have a lot of explosive plays in this game?
I don't see that.
Neither do I.
No. Kick their booty. 50 yards, touchdown, Pats win by double digits, 33-1. May the force be with you. May 250 passing, 50 rushing, 14-1. Seahawks are flying. Darnold more than 225 passing, Walker 75 rushing, plus 550. Score on the last play of the game, plus 650.
I would need more than that, too.
Yes. And then there's also the creativity we talked about earlier because of the first game when they played. There's interception in the end zone, and there's interception in the last minute. And will they throw from the 1-yard line? You have all that stuff that's offered, too.
Which I don't mind that one at 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Spillane's a full go, like there's a reason why the under 1.5 shortest touchdown is minus 140, and it's... cashed 5 out of the last 6 years, 8 out of the last 10. Seahawks have the ball at the 1 yard line. If Splane's a full go, they're tough to run on.
Yeah.
Maybe they try it once or twice with him at the one, no dice. And then you just have to hope that they don't lose yards. He's stuffed at the one and they call it good. And then on third down, you get, they, by the way, they will go shotgun on short yardage. They've done that. They did, I think, against the Rams in the NFC title game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, well, it's third and one, boys. We can't get an inch on this defense. I got to chuck it now to JSN. So the INT to actually occur in the end zone is 9-1.
Okay.
For spots that are offering that one.
Yeah.
Will both teams have the lead in the first half? The yes is plus 140. No, minus 160. And you like under longest lead. Largest lead.
Yeah, 14 and a half, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And shortest touchdown under 1.5. Some of these matchups are good, too. You got Cup minus 170 against Hollins. Hollins, $1.60 against Shaheed. Stevenson, $1.40 against Barner. Henderson is plus 155 against Helani. Oh, I mean, I just need one catch from Henderson, I think.
Well, that's
how many catches do you think Helani's going to have?
Well, he opened up 9.5, though, with the receiver. People bet it up.
Yeah.
Henderson was a half a yard.
Where was that?
Bet MGM.
Oh, my God. 3.5 now at Caesars. Okay, interesting. I can't believe some of his props, though, especially the rushing. 3 or more field goals, both teams 8-1. 4 is 40-1. And 70-yard field goal, 200-1. 65-yard field goal, 40-1. They did a good job.
Henderson's a lot of good stuff. By the way, a lot of talk here on the show and on the network about his receiving yards. Talking about Travion Henderson here.
Yeah.
How about the rushing attempts prop, 9.5? We're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 out of the last 10 games, he's gone over 9.5 rushing attempts. 9 out of 10.
Okay. Good info.
That was in the regular season. He had 9 against the Chargers, 12 against the Texans. He wasn't really a factor at all against Denver. But in this game, I think it's a...
Yeah.
And this defense again, he's going to have some usage, man.
I think he can have a good game. I think you make a case for Stevenson to have a big game too. Rushing and receiving. Before the line moves, sharp plays already there. Super Bowl, the biggest betting event of the year where limits peak and nearly in every half point matters. You're not going to outsmart the books or full-time sharps on your own. Backed by advanced AI and the Robinhood plays that are up over 30,000 donated charity. AI plays up 50 units. The sharp plays tracks the sharp money on the Super Bowl sides, totals, and props before the number disappears. Free reports, alerts, transparent results since 2011. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, monitored by the book. Stay ahead of the line this Super Bowl. Visit SharpPlays.com.
Max Hoffmeyer, shot quality bets coming up next. He's very good on college basketball. Do we trust Darren Peterson to play enough so we can fire on the Jayhawks plus the points tonight? We'll ask him next here on VSiN. Time now for some college basketball. Some nice teams in action tonight. We head out to the Progressive guest line. Max Hoffmeyer joins the program. Shot Quality Bets is where he is at, and you can follow him on X. He is at Hoffy8121. Hey, Max, good afternoon. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. We just flipped to February. That means we're almost to March. Almost once the Super Bowl is over, it's college basketball time.
No kidding. So all of these teams in the Big 12 are playing gauntlets over the next month plus. It's absolutely insane to look at some of these schedules. Perfect exhibit is this game tonight in Lubbock, Texas, with the Red Raiders hosting the Jayhawks. And Texas Tech here at Circa, there were 4.5s out there earlier today. Is Darren Peterson going to play enough minutes tonight to like justify a bet on Kansas?
Yeah, so that one's tough because he's missed so much time and he's played so many games where he'll play the first half and then has to come out because he just can't stay healthy. But, I mean, Kansas has played enough without him that it isn't, you know, necessarily the devastating blow that it might be because, you know, I mean, they just shown at home they held on against BYU. But, you know, it certainly got tight without him. Now, this is the game where, you know, they need Darren Peterson. you know, going on the road. This is a Texas Tech team that pretty good. I mean, they're really good at home, defended home court just recently against Houston. And, you know, it's a great situational spot here. Kansas, they do what they always do. They win at Fog, just like they did last game, like they did against Iowa State. It doesn't really matter the scenario. But now they got to go on the road. UCF off a loss, or Texas Tech off a loss at UCF. So if you're into situational spots here, this is definitely a good one. And I played Texas Tech -2.5 on the opener. I still like it here. You know, Kansas is a team that shot quality just has a little overrated. I mean, they're still very good, but in the non-conference, you know, they allowed only 25% from deep to opponents. And now since conference play, we've seen that kind of flip, 36% they're allowing. So we're starting to kind of see that, yeah, maybe they were just a little overrated here. And, you know, that 3-point variance is huge, especially because Kansas, the way their defense works, they allow a ton of threes, 310th in frequency allowed. So, and this is not a team you want to play with that that shot diet, because Texas Tech has been awesome all year, 39% from deep all season, 44% in their last five, and 41% at home. So this is a good shooting team, and no reason to think they, you know, have an off night here on their home floor. So I took Texas Tech. I think they win this one and cover.
This might be a tough question, but your thoughts on the schedule coming up, if Arizona can somehow survive this starting next week, 6 out of their next 7 games are against top 15 opponents.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this is, they will finish, you know, undefeated. Yeah. I've got that Kansas game circled. You know, they play, Arizona plays Oklahoma State here on Saturday. Then they go on the road at Fog. And like I said, I just talked about it. That's just going to be a tough one. KenPom has Arizona by 2 in that one. I would not be surprised if we see sharp money come in on Kansas at home, and, you know, maybe even Kansas short favorite in that one.
We talked about this briefly earlier in the show, and that is the odds market for the Wooden Award, and Boozer's running away with it. And when you compare, like, DeBansa and also Toppin, their numbers are right there with him, and he's a $9 favorite. Is it reckless to come on here and say maybe we should bet DeBansa and Toppin, despite having great seasons, they're going to give it to Boozer at the end of the day?
You know, I don't think it's reckless at all. And because, you know, I mean, I listen to the show. You guys talk about awards markets a lot. And you're handicapping the voters, and they've proven to be so unpredictable, I feel like, all the time. So, you know what? You know, why not? Worth a big stab. You know, if you can get a nice plus price, like you said, -900, you just never know with these guys. But yeah, I mean, I would not be surprised if Boozer gets it. You know, he's been awesome all year, but there's just so much. I don't like this market. I don't really play it just because there's so much unpredictability.
I don't blame you.
I know who I think should get it, but, you know, I'm handicapping how other people think. And, you know, I just like to focus on what I think.
I made the case for the Lumberjacks earlier on the show. The line keeps going up and against them. They're at home against McNeese State. They lost the first meeting by 2. Their only conference loss, 12-1 in league play, catching 3 now at home against McNeese. What do you think of the Lumberjacks?
Yeah, I played SF Austin here. That the market playing this one out to McNeese -3.5 kind of scares me, because KenPom has you know, SF Austin by 1. So, and the market, you know, in February is a lot more efficient than it is, you know, in November for college basketball. But these are two teams top of the conference here, and, you know, so big implications there, and both first year head coaches too. So doing very well in year one for both programs. Like you said, McNeese won that one game 1-2, and it was a close one. I'm not surprised it's a close one, because, you know, McNeese dominates this conference because they're first in turnovers forced and first in offensive rebound rate. So they just kind of pick on the rest of the Southland. But you can't really push around this SF Austin team, you know, because they're first in the conference in offensive turnover rate and first in defensive rebound rate. So they're not going to, you know, just let McNeese force a bunch of turnovers. They're not going to let McNeese just dominate on the offensive glass. So I wasn't surprised to see that first one was close, you know, a 2-point game. And I would expect another close one here. So, yeah, I took the home dog. That was pretty intriguing. So I am on SF Austin as well.
Yeah. Eric Haslam, by the way, has Austin by about 1.5, and Torvik has Austin by 4.5 points in this game tonight with his website over there. Okay, so North Carolina's in action tonight. This number's also gone up against Syracuse. They're going to destroy this team on the glass. But this is more of a long-term. I haven't heard anybody really talk about North Carolina futures at all. They're in the 20-1 area just to make the Final Four. Yay or nay to plunking down some money on that?
I have to see something defensively. I mean, the rebounding is there. You know, they have the front court to do it, which is funny because Hubert Davis always had guards in backcourt, and they just never had a front court. But, you know, this year they actually do. But they can't defend. They're 15th in the ACC in defense, and it's not like there's a ton of, you know, great defenses in the ACC. So the fact that, you know, if you're North Carolina, you're 15th in the conference, like, you have to show me something defensively or else, yeah, they're not going to make a run at all.
St. Louis plays tomorrow. That you can still find some numbers on them, like, to make the Final Four. Huge numbers are out there, like 40-1 overall. Is what are your thoughts on something like that? Is that worth maybe some pizza money, or they're like Sweet 16 tops this year?
Oh, I think they can absolutely make an Elite Eight. Final Four could be tough. You know, I was high on St. Louis coming into the year, and somehow they, you know, surprised me even, you know, because they are, I mean, just they do everything great. Schertz is a great coach. It's the quality of shots that they take. We love what they do. 3.7, you know, average 2-point distance. Like, if they shoot a two, it is literally at the rim, or else they're going to step back and shoot a three, which, you know, obviously the analytics will love. And especially when you shoot, you know, 41% from deep on the year. So you're either taking high quality looks from deep, or you're taking high quality looks at the rim. And they're forcing tough looks too. You know, all those offensive principles about taking great shots, well, they just apply the opposite on defense, force your opponent into bad shots. And I mean, they've played some good teams too this year. You know, Santa Clara win, Grand Canyon. They lost by one to Stanford. You know, that was their only loss. So they've shown, and they're dominating, you know, their conference as well. It's not like they're escaping by, you know, I know other mid-major darling, Miami, Ohio, love them, but, you know, they've escaped some close calls. You know, St. Louis really hasn't had many close ones. They're dominating. Yeah, I would not be surprised if they go on a run. But I think Elite Eight might be the ceiling.
Okay, Max, we have like 90 seconds left here. I'm glad you brought up Miami. I'm looking right now for both of you guys. Miami to make or miss the tournament at DraftKings. They're undefeated. They're $1.90 to make the tournament. They're plus 145 to miss. Like, overall, what is their...
He's got them an 11 seed right now, I know.
What do you think about that and their overall seed ceiling, Max?
Yeah, so it's very tough because, you know, the committees, they've said they've used the analytics site. And, you know, right now, if you look in the MAC, Akron is a top. But I think they've done enough work. You know, they can drop a regular season game. It will come down. They have to make the championship. And if they lose to, it's got to be like Akron. And then it could be a two-bid max. So that seems the only route. They don't get an automatic qualifier. You know, maybe just a one-loss Miami, Ohio team, and then probably get slotted in like a 10 or 11. I don't see how you can put them. You can't really justify putting them, I don't know, 8 or 9. That would be kind of unfair to them.
Okay, so you'd rather maybe bet them to miss a tournament overall than to make a Final Four run?
Yes, I don't. I would take the miss, and I hate to say it, I don't want it to happen, but I would not be surprised if, you know, they snubbed the little guy.
It's February and they're undefeated. Oh man, you can follow Max on X at Hoffy8121. Does a great job with shot quality bets. Thanks, Max. As always, best of luck tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
He was on the Progressive guest line. Hey, imagine if they lose one regular season game and don't make the MAC conference tournament. You're out.
32-2, 30 something like that. 30-2. Yeah, I know.
All right, we'll get to In Pocket Plays coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it.
I bet
bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
All right. So Mitch had the LeBron news. That looks like it might come to an end, their relationship, sooner rather than later.
Well, in the offseason.
Yeah. And also ESPN.com, the Bucks are counteroffers to teams with Minnesota, Miami, Golden State leading the charge. No, Chicago wasn't mentioned, even though they moved from 45 to 4-1 to get them at some spot.
God, I can't wait for the reports to come out about the back and forth with Golden State.
Yeah.
They have absolutely nothing other than Steph Curry, when they're never going to trade him, obviously.
Minnesota would be something.
Yeah, and I think they have the parts to actually
they
make
do.
Parts and the picks.
They do. Got a little hairy, but Kansas covers. Winner on Saturday. Good game against BYU. BYU's got to figure out this first half stuff. They keep falling behind big. Arizona, Connecticut, Kansas. Got to play a complete game, guys.
I believe that they are still the best team in the second half points per possession in the entire country.
All right. Drake May over rushing. Henderson over receiving, 2.5. Both quarterbacks complete their first pass, no even money. Mac Hollins, step 25 yards, $1.20, $1.10. Shortest touchdown under 1.5 yards, minus 140. Both teams, 33-yard field goal, $1.20. And this has moved significantly now. Over 7.5 players to have a rush attempt. I've seen it as high as $2 now. But we ran the numbers and we're putting it together with Kramer while he was on the air. I think that'll happen. Walker, this is at Caesars, 5 yards rushing each quarter and 25 yards rushing each half. That is $1.20. To the new stuff, Portland State tonight, the Vikings in the Big Sky against Idaho State. It's up to 7.5. They won by 7 in the first meeting on the road. They are one of the best teams, however you want to grade it, number one or number two, best teams in all of college basketball. ATS. I think they take them out at home tonight. There's a path for Stevenson to win MVP. Pizza money, 30-1. Longest touchdown drive, under 79.5 yards, plus 105. Largest lead, under 14.5 points. And at Caesars, the shortest scoring drive, over 59.5 seconds, $1.35. No chaos, no hijinks. Some new stuff. Good stuff with the creativity over the weekend here at Circa. Will Hill and Mitch Metzen, some stuff at Boomers as well. There's a lot of good stuff up there now with the 300 pounds and the offensive linemen and out of bounds, 3rd and 25, 4th and 25. Good stuff with all the traders around town. Yeah, good luck, everyone.
Going back to Friday, boy, a lot of money on Michigan before tip time against Michigan State. I bit on Sparty. I took the 2.5. Did you watch that game?
A little bit.
That was Michigan killed him in the first half.
Yeah.
And then Sparty, after halftime, I guess Izzo's message got through. They came roaring back. They took the lead.
Yeah.
And then they completely fell apart again. And Michigan went on to kind of blow them out. And so that was a losing bet on Friday. Some pending stuff. New stuff as well. Well, the Travion Henderson stuff now. Bet him multiple times. Over a half, over 1.5. More on this tomorrow. 5+, 10+ with Henderson with the catches in the Super Bowl. As for tonight, got one bet in the NBA. We're going to go to the Minnesota-Memphis game. Ty Jerome played in his first regular season game on Saturday. By the way, it was the same two teams. And Minnesota got him 131 to 114. He started. He played 20 minutes. He shot 12 times, by the way. Scored 20 points. He also had 6 assists. So over 3.5 tonight is plus 134. Starting point guard on a team playing the same squad where they just combined for 245 points. That's worth a play to me. And maybe he'll even have his minutes go up tonight. I pondered points. But is he going to get 12 shots again in, you know, limited minutes, so to speak? I'd rather take the assist at a smaller number. So that's what we're going to go to battle with tonight.
Goodell, Mexico City gets a game. We're up to 9 international games now.
Oh, it might be up to 10, 11, 13. No kidding. It could be 13, 14.
Kraft's right. we might hit that next year.
I also saw Goodell wow. said that an 18-game season is not guaranteed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We're here Sunday. We dance for the final time. It's been a fun run. It's been great to do the tailgate show every morning. We start the coverage Sunday, 9 a.m. Eastern, with the Pro Football Tailgate Show. Gil follows us at noon. 2 p.m., Props Points with John Hansen and Tim Murray. 4 p.m., Money Moves with Stormy and Von Tobel. 6 p.m. Eastern, Big Game Betting live from Vegas. Matt Brown and Mike Somich, live odds and the best in-game betting opportunities. And then Dustin at 10 p.m. Eastern, cashing out, grades all the props and the bets, and they celebrate the winners. The biggest betting day of the year, all-day coverage, only on VSiN. And we start you off right at 9 a.m. Eastern. No fluff, great guests, information you need, the props, phenomenal stuff. Doctor with the injuries. I love that we worked guys in with weather once we got into December. It was a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to it Sunday.
If you missed Warren Sharp earlier today, he joined us at 5:30 Eastern time. His 10-minute breakdown of the game was sensational, and some of the nuggets that he provided live on the air, absolutely worth going back and listening to on the Follow the Money podcast, which you can get wherever, obviously, you can find your podcasts. By the way, so ESPN.com, Kevin Pelton and Zach Cram threw out trade proposals to Bobby Marks, and he would be the guy to either reject them or to accept it.
This was interesting.
So the deal that they ran by for the Warriors.
Do you think anything's going to happen? I think he stays a Buck. What do you think?
So do I.
Yeah, deadline Thursday.
So the Warriors would get Giannis and Miles Turner. The Bucks would get Jimmy Butler, Jonathan Kuminga, Pods, first-round picks in 26, 28, 30, 31, and 32.
Oh!
Bobby Marks said, no Giannis trades will be easy, but this is the simplest considering no third team is involved. Wow. So they would stockpile those picks in the post-Steph Curry years, in theory.
Yeah, because I know that would probably have to happen if the Knicks get it done, that they would need a third team. And that's convoluted and interesting if that would happen. I think it'd be wild if he goes to Portland, which they have some pieces. Unlikely, but I think that'd be pretty good if he could wind up there.
Well, here's a three-team deal they kicked around involving Portland and the Knicks. So Giannis and Jrue Holiday would go to New York. Portland would get Kat, Bridges, and McBride. Yeah. Milwaukee would get Grant, Thibault, Yabusele, and then first-round picks for like 5 years down the road. Picks or pick swaps.
I'd rather have the Golden State offer.
That is extremely complicated.
Yeah.
And that Marks even said that actually.
I like that for Portland.
How about this? In the Heat deal, Giannis would go to Miami on his own. The Bucks in return would get Hero, where he's a good ball player.
Yeah. Yep.
They would get a first-round pick in 29 and 31 and a swap rights in 30, plus Miami would throw in Terry Rozier.
The Rozier contract. Yeah. Oh, God.
Can he play?
He hasn't ruled on it. I don't think Silver's ruled on it yet.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
How can he be involved in a deal?
Yeah. They finally cleared his contract. Purdom had that story today. So all this movement on the Bulls, I don't even know what I don't even see a proposal.
I have no idea.
Like, where did this come from? Kalshi, big move, and a huge move at DraftKings. From 45 to 1 to 4 to 1.
I'm looking at this. They threw out like 8 teams. Bulls are not even one that they mentioned.
Yeah, I know. Be a shocker. They're like the second choice behind the Knicks.
Would you do this deal if you're the Bucks? It's only Giannis that you're sending to Philadelphia. You'd get Edgecombe.
Yes.
A first-round pick from the Clippers in 28, a first-round pick in 30, and you get Paul George.
Yeah. That's not bad. Edgecombe ceiling so high.
Yeah, but George doesn't move the needle at all.
It allows you to tank, though, because he's suspended. So you worry about it next year. You tank, you're not going to win any games. And get worry about the draft pick, and maybe you get the number one and the number two pick. That could work out.
There are some wild third team, like being involved scenarios, but it would take an hour to, I think, talk about all the players and picks that would be involved. All right, that's going to do it for us. Stay tuned, VSiN Primetime. Tim Murray, Matt Youmans coming up. They'll take you through the live betting night.
Frank B tomorrow. Frank B in studio. Can't wait.
Yeah. Going to be
props
great.
And a great story. Yes. Several great stories.
Cashing out with Dustin tonight, 11 o'clock Eastern. Wake up bright and early tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern. VSiN by the books with Dave and Jensen. Best of luck with the bets tonight.